Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward. Here. Well, we're thinking about gifts this whole season, and so I have this gift box here. You want to shake it? You want to guess what's in there? You know what's in there? You're pretty smart. Yeah. You were here before. That's right. Let's let Lillian. I'm like, how did you know? Let's let Lillian guess. Any ideas? Does it sound like you want to open it up for us? Ooh, what's in there? There are corks. Good job. You guessed it right. All right. So tell me what happens with a cork when you put it in water. Yeah. It floats. Lillian, do you want to see if they're right? Can you put one of those in the water? Oh, is it floating or sinking? It's floating. Yeah, it is floating. So this made me think about how water is the gift we have in baptism, and God has given us water for lots of things. Like what? What do you use water for? Growing food. Bath. One other thing. Drinking it. Do you drink water? Yeah. Okay. So drinking water, and these are floating, because and that made me think about how God holds us up together, and holds us in community through this promise of baptism. So I want you each to take one more. Hold on. We're going to do it a little different than the first service. I'm going to change it on you. All right. So we're going to each say our name and then put our cork in there. Okay? So Pastor Lita, go ahead. Lillian. One in for Mom. Okay. So that water is holding us all up, and anyone's invited to do that during sacred space. The bowl will be right back there. So let's pray, and I'm going to spritz you a little bit. I wanted to spritz all the grown-ups, but I got vetoed on that. All right. So are you ready? Okay. Gracious God, thank you for water and how it helps us remember your love holding us up. In the name of the Creator and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats now.
I want to start by reading something that I posted on Facebook that I just think is a nice way to remind ourselves of how important our witness to Jesus is. To remind ourselves that the world hears about Jesus from those who are the loudest, and it's not always us. In fact, I would say we could be a little louder once in a while to share a loving, grace-filled God. But this is what it was, and I think it's important because sometimes we forget this about who Jesus was. It was just a little list. This year, I want to be more like Jesus. Number one, hang out with sinners. Number two, upset religious people. Number three, tell stories that make people think. Number four, choose unpopular friends. Number five, be kind, loving, and merciful. Number six, take naps on boats. And somebody else said to me, how about I'd like to turn water into wine too? But I like that because it reminds us who Jesus was is not always who we make Jesus. And it also reminds us and centers us as we come into the topic today, which is baptism. I want to do a little bit more of a teaching sermon today on baptism because it's one of those things that we should be able to tell the outside world about what we believe in baptism. And if we're not learning that, talking about that, finding a way to know and understand that gift to the point where we are fluent in our baptism, then we're missing out on an opportunity. So in the sense of epiphany being to talk about gifts, today it's community. But I think one beautiful gift of our community is baptism, and we don't always remember that is exactly what baptism is the gift into the community. Now to start with, I want to take a broad approach because when we talk about baptism in the world, there are some that see the story today of John the Baptist being baptized as being exactly what we do in our baptism. We align ourselves with God, repent, that's what that means, to align ourselves with God. And so, there is a group of Christians, a strong, large group of Christians that when they think about baptism, it's for an older child or an adult who says, I want to claim my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not putting that down, but I am saying that's different than what we do and what our witness to baptism is. And it's important that we can understand and dialogue and witness to what we believe, which is we see baptism as God's embrace of us, less than our embrace of God, because it starts that way. It's the reason that we baptize infants, not that we have to baptize an infant, it could be an adult if they have not been baptized, but we also don't re-baptize. It's because we think this is completely a gift of God's grace. And so if somebody comes to me and says, could I be re-baptized? I'd say to you, we would love to have a moment to remember your baptism, and we could even do that in church, if it's important to you and if we want to talk through that. But no, we baptize once because it's what God has done for us. So that's just one little piece of what I want to talk about. But to dig into the rest of it, I believe this text today is much more about talking to a group of people who didn't totally understand baptism than we sometimes think. You see, The audience of the book of Matthew, which is what our gospel was from today, was really primarily talking to the Hebrew people, the Hebrew Christians. It was a witness that was sharing the word with this group particularly. And so some of the language in it, there's other reasons that we can go into of why we know that now. But it helps us to understand some of the things that were important to them. And to start with, I remind you that for a Hebrew, baptism was something new. The old covenant was established through the covenant of Abraham. And so their understanding of their connection with the church was that they passed on and were a part of the community by their birthright. It was a gift that was part of who they were as Jews. And as they became Christians, this group of people were being taught that this is bigger than us. It starts by having that Magi come into the story to remind them that this Jesus changes everything. It's bigger than just our birthright. And it actually ends, it's important to realize, it ends with the end of Matthew sharing that same thing in a different way connected to baptism. Do you remember the last little bit of Matthew? You actually, a lot of you probably have these verses memorized if you don't realize it's at the end of Matthew. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why would they end the gospel with those words? Well, it sounds like something that we should go and do. So sure, it's a great ending. And maybe you're saying, well, that's exactly what we should be ending with. Why was it only Matthew that ended with that? It's partially because for the audience of Matthew, this was something new. They had to understand and realize that this was a gift of their community that they had not fully understood or even had until now. And so now they needed to be given that little extra nudge to say, it's not just about you and your, and I'm going to put it into our terms, church family. It's about the world and letting them all know of the love of Christ Jesus and sharing this gift and letting the Holy Spirit loosen the world through you, letting you be a gift. And so, as we talk about this, I want to focus on this one image. I'm going to take a step back here. Not really, because I'd fall down. If the one part of the outside community looks at baptism as our embrace of God, we say, no, this is God's embrace of us. And as we take that out into the world, we understand that then this is a gift that can be given to others. Because if it's our embrace of God, it's all about you that I talk to. But if it's God's embrace of us, it's simply a gift of community that we're trying to share with the world. Which, by the way, I also point out, for the Hebrews, this was a dramatic change and maybe one that made it a little easier to talk about going out into the world. For one thing, you couldn't just become a Jew, because if you weren't part of that bloodline, you weren't Jewish. It was part of your bloodline, not you could marry in. That would be the way to do that. And of course, to practice that in your life, all males at least would be circumcised. And switching to baptism, I bet you that seems like a much easier approach as well. So, I digress. So, in baptism, we embrace people and allow their gifts to thrive is the first part of what I want to talk about with this. Because I'm a little off here. As we start talking about baptism, these are a few of the things that we can hear from this story today that help us to understand baptism more. And one of them is this. In baptism, we embrace people. We allow their gifts to thrive. You know, in the story that you see today, Jesus really did not need John to baptize him, did he? I mean, if this was the Son of God and you're trying, and John is out there saying, align yourself with God, and he gets to Jesus, you can see the awkward moment for John, can't you? Align yourself with God. Yeah, the Son of God, right in my midst. You get why he said, I don't know if I should be doing this. But John and Jesus, recognizing that moment, realizing that John really did not need Jesus, or Jesus really did not need John to baptize him, but maybe it was very important for other reasons. It sent a powerful message to everybody who witnessed it, that we ministers and leaders of our church are both humbled and empowered. We are reminded that those we serve, we are also blessed by, and they equip us, and they nurture us. One of our tasks as the church is to provide the space for people to be whom God has called them to be. For us to see and realize that outside person, as soon as they become a part of us, they are going to lead us in ways that we never realized before. We need them. We need the outsider. And I think that early church was really wrestling with this, because again, if you were coming from that Hebrew background and you got to hear from churches like Paul's, you realized, oh my goodness, there's all sorts of gifts that we can have come into our community by simply allowing God to adopt new people into this family. The second part from the story is in baptism, we listen for the calling of Jesus in the embrace, and we nurture that calling in each person. It kind of goes with that other one, but by allowing John to take the lead in the story, Jesus is letting John be what he was called to be. He is realizing that John has seen his gifts, and he's allowing that to be the gift of the church. He doesn't take it away from them. He surrenders to John's work in the wilderness and says, do this. Yes, I can do this. Aligning with God is sort of my specialty. But you're doing it, and you're doing great work. Jesus honors the ministry of other people. We need to find ways to continue to honor the ministry of each and every person who comes here. He doesn't circumvent the process so that he can get to his mission. He allows each person's mission to thrive. I remind you, too, a gift of this community right now that we're still learning is that we have a lot of people connected to community organizations outside the church. And instead of saying, no, you need to get that into the church, we are figuring out better and better, how can we be the church out there? How can we allow these organizations that serve the mission of the church to be their mission field? They're already doing it, by the way. We're just allowing that and realizing that that needs to be a gift of our church. Which brings us to our next one. If we're out in the community, we see it in this story too. Baptism brings us beyond our comfort zone. We often make evangelism in our church, in some of the churches like ours that are much more comfortable in doing than talking about doing in the world. We often make evangelism advertisements and signs. If you want to hear about God, come and see us. We'd love to talk to you. That's really passive. We'd love to talk to you. You enter into the building and we'll witness to you. But out in the world, we won't. The one thing a sign can't do is embrace someone. And we remind ourselves that Jesus and John, they were out in the wilderness. It was a place of opportunity. They knew it. There is a place like that right in these communities. Fort Collins, Denver, wherever you walk. Places where those on the margins, those who don't feel like they belong, are. Jesus and John were with the outcasts, and they lived and breathed in those places as much as they did in the churches and synagogues. And since his birth, Jesus had learned to live on the run. His work in ministry is no different. Although he received treasured gifts as a child, his task as an adult was to challenge classism and imperial regimes, to look at the world and say, there is a need for justice, and it's going to start with me. And I'm going to go out in the world to share that beyond my comfort zone. What better way to accompany the left out? To go and share a word of embrace with them. And this brings me back to our baptism itself. When we recall baptisms, it's such a community event. It's not about that individual here. Everything that we do in that service is about that. One of those that I love to bring up and lift up is the fact that so often it is a baby. And the witness of that is twofold. Not only because that baby cannot even embrace or speak up for the word of God, God is speaking up for them. But also because, well, I like to take it this way when I talk to youth or something about this. When we light the candle and we say to the baby holding a candle, which is always something that, to think about, where that candle goes, we say, let your light so shine before others that they may glorify your Father and your God in heaven, that they may see your good works and know God. That's what we share in baptism. Now, if you get to confirmation and you say, what did they say to you at baptism? The only way they're going to know is if you told them. If we as a community continue to share that gift with them, to help them to know it, we need to be a community about baptism that talks about it, that realizes this. And we do that in baptism. We see the gift of it. As we take in baptism, we realize it is completely a gift of grace, not earned, but freely given. The embrace of love, authentic, welcoming, and it's meant to be shared with others. The final piece in that baptism is Jesus is the light of the world, but in your baptism, you are invited to be a light to others. Jesus is the one who embraced you, but you are invited to be my child and embrace the world. Think about that. For our church, it comes back to this question that as I was creating the sermon, I realized very quickly was the question I wanted to try to answer. It was this: how can we better share this embrace, talk about this embrace, and invite others into this relationship? And then I realized, I don't get to do that. I don't get to answer that question. You do. Let me say it again and remind you that this is actually our task as a church in this day and age. How can we better share the embrace of God that has been given to us in baptism? How can we better talk about that embrace so that we can be witnesses to God's grace in the world? And how can we invite others into relationship? I come not with answers, but with a reminder that it's not my task. It's not Pastor Lita's task. It's not the councils alone. It's not the Sunday school teachers. It's all of our task to cultivate a community that is constantly wondering how we can better share God's love with a world that desperately needs to hear about it. Amen.